Or we identify with this, that sometimes it seems like our Christmas traditions can distract from what we believe is the true message of Christmas. As the young gals were blessed us with their reading, as the Christmas story is that God entered into creation through the man Jesus. That God loved his creation so much that he wanted to come and to be a part of it and to redeem creation, starting with you and with me and with people. And sometimes we fear that some of the traditions we keep may be distracting us from focusing in on Jesus. Yet at the same time, many of our traditions are the things that make this holiday season so much fun. And maybe you're like me, because I know I have felt this tension of going, okay, where do I land here? If I do these things, am I somehow taking the Christ out of Christmas? But at the same time, right, we can get so uber religious that it becomes about legalism, and what this holiday season's all about, we kind of lose. Right? We've all seen the signs, right? Keep Christ in Christmas. But does that mean that we have to give up all these other things that we cherish and that we love? You know, it's really for that reason that I thought it'd be fun to do this series. And that it'd be fun to look at some of our Christmas or holiday traditions and take a deeper look at them. And I think that what we'll discover, what we have been discovering starting last week, is that many of these traditions, these fun things that we do, actually, when we dig down a little deeper, reveal part of the Christmas story. And maybe we never even realized that before. So last week, we talked about how we decorate our homes. How many of you guys like put up trees or wreaths or stockings or right, reindeer, and people come in your lawn in the middle of the night and they move them around? I'm the only one who does that? Okay. Right, we do these things because we're excited. There's something inside of us that we want the world to know. So we decorate, we do these things, and it draws attention because it's an external sign of an internal feeling. Well, the part of the Christmas story reveals that same truth, that Jesus is the external sign, the physical manifestation of God's internal love. So one of the reasons why we get excited during the season, one of the reasons why we want to celebrate, we want to show that, is because we're wired that way. Because our God is the same, where he, in his eternal love, he showed that, he demonstrated that through his son, Jesus Christ, by being born into this world. Well, today, I want to continue kind of in that same train of thought as we look at another tradition, which I'm sure you guys can guess when I ask you, what do you think is the biggest, most widely celebrated tradition regarding Christmas? Gifts, right? Gift giving, right? How many of you guys can remember at some point in your life having like this type moment when you opened a gift? What is the best gift you guys have ever received? Feel free, shout it out. Like, just what is a gift you got that you were just totally excited about? Life? That's a pretty good one. Family? That's a good one. Socks! No, that goes in the next category, worst gift ever. I remember one time I was in the military and I came home and my parents put together this basket of like deodorant and shampoo and toothpaste. And I was like, are you trying to tell me something here? Like, am I the stinky guy in the room? Like, what just happened here? Right? We love gifts. We love giving them. We love receiving them. Part of our traditions. It's interesting, Jesus, throughout his public ministry, many of the ways in which Jesus taught was through the art of storytelling. And it's interesting, when we look at his stories, we call them parables, how many of them have similar themes? And there's one theme that seems to come up over and over again within Jesus' stories. He tells us stories about a king who forgave a massive debt, about a vineyard owner who pays his workers more than they deserve, about a king who invites strangers into a massive party, not just supplying for their meal, but actually their attire as well. He tells stories about a father who gave half of his possessions to a wayward child and then gives them more when he returns. He tells a story about a homeowner who pays his servants in advance as he departs for a trip. Those are just a few of Jesus' stories that he tells throughout the Gospels. But I think it's interesting that all of these have kind of a shared or common theme, and that is generosity, is it not? It's generosity. And when we think about it, isn't that what gift-giving really is all about? It's about generosity, gift-giving in its purest form. I understand that sometimes it gets twisted and becomes a competition, who can outgive who. And just in case you're wondering, I am always the master of our house. I always give the best presents. It's a joke. But it's not, though. Yes! Christmas is going to be awesome for them, and it's going to suck for me. No, I'm joking. But at its heart, right, at its purest form, gift-giving, it's about generosity. Isn't there something that's interesting that happens? And if you're here and, right, you're a little bit older in age, something happens in the art of gift-giving, doesn't it? When you're really young, it's all about getting. It's all about that excitement, right? You get up in the morning, you run out, you see the presents. Oh, what is it going to be? You rip it open. This is that excitement. But as you get older, something inside you starts to change. And what you find is that the older you get, the more it becomes about the gift giving, doesn't it? I know this, and we joke, but for me, the highlight of Christmas when we celebrate, and we don't make a huge deal in our home about the gifts, so we kid and stuff. But the joy for me is watching as my family opens a gift. To me, that's much more meaningful, seeing the looks on their face, seeing the excitement, seeing that, oh, right? That is so much more of a blessing to me than receiving something. And I think many of you can relate to that because a lot of you are shaking your heads. Maybe you're thinking of this memory. You know that this is true. As a matter of fact, it's been proven. Harvard University did a study on the psychology of gift giving, and they concluded that it is, quote, the giver, not the receiver, who reaps the biggest psychological gains from a gift. They went on to say that when the one receiving is unable to reciprocate the gift, the giver actually finds greater joy. Now, they don't say that in like a negative way, like, ha-ha, I gave you such a big gift, there's no way you can repay it. They're not saying it in a negative sense. They're saying when a person truly needs something and another person has the ability to meet that need, they actually find greater joy in meeting that bigger need. Part of their research included observing pet owners. Have you guys ever seen pet? How many of you guys are pet owners? You guys are crazy. Pet owners are the craziest people on the face of the earth. I'm convinced of that. And this is how I know it. The other day, Angela and I and the kids were at a store, and we seen a chihuahua wearing a Christmas sweater with a jacket on. And the guy was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, you know, we were joking about the jacket. And he's like, it's not just a jacket. And he pulls it off, and there's like a Christmas sweater with a tree on it and stuff. I was like, pet owners are crazy. But it's interesting, in the study, they watched as pet owners did things for their pets, things that a pet can never do in response, but how much joy it brought to that pet owner. I know in our home, one of my little things I do is every night, you know, kind of unwinding, I always pop this little bag of kettle corn popcorn I like. And soon as, if you guys are like me, you know this. When you pop a bag of popcorn, what's the first thing you do when you take it out? You give it that little shake, right? Soon as I do, our dog George is like, whew, he runs up. I mean, he knows that sound. And so George and I share about a bag of kettle corn popcorn every single night. And you know what? There's something about it that brings joy to me. Watching him as he, like, I throw it and he jumps and he grabs it and he gets excited and his tail wags. It does something to me. It gives me joy. It would seem from our experiences, as well as even research at Harvard University, that there's something inside of us that wants to bring joy to others, that wants to bless others. Now, I would suggest to you that that is because of God's love that is inside of us. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible today just because I like how it's translated here. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. And this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that we've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. I love that. I love this translation. I love how Peter's does it here in the Message Bible. And I don't know about you guys, but there's a couple of things that really kind of stuck out to me as I was listening to that. First and foremost is that God's love is made manifest to us through Jesus. Right? And this is kind of what we talked about last week, if you think about it. That Jesus is the outward expression, or Jesus is the proof that God loves his people. If you've ever wrestled with the question of, does God love me? Does God care about me? Does God have purpose or plan for my life? Then the answer is yes, because Jesus is the proof. Jesus is the proof. He is the outward expression of God's love. But it tells us this, that God is not selfish, that God is generous, that God the Father gave God the Son to redeem us and to restore us back to him. Salvation, right? What the church is founded on, this restored relationship with Jesus, is a gift. It's an amazing gift. And a beautiful gift. It's a gift that you and I could never earn. We could never work hard enough for. We could never purchase. Right? On our own ability, it was always out of reach. But the Father gives it to us through the Son as an amazing, beautiful gift. That gift that excuse me, we can never pay back. That gift that we can never somehow do in return. The gift that the only thing we could do is receive it with faith and with gratitude. But make no mistake, it was not a free gift. It was a costly gift. Matter of fact, it was more costly than you and I could ever imagine. In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it cost God the life of his Son. But God was willing to pay this price because just as we read, John said, God is love. Which is why if you continue to read in 1 John, John says this, that if you have hatred inside of you, that's a sign that you're not a follower of Jesus. He actually says that. You can't be a follower of Jesus if you have hatred inside of you. Why? Because Scripture says this, that when we receive Christ as our Savior, that His Spirit lives within us. His Spirit comes and it lives within us. And John just said this, that God is love, which means this, that love resides in us. If you're a follower of Jesus, right, love lives in you. And I'm not talking about kind of a Hallmark holiday movie type of love, right? You guys ever see those movies? Every time those things come on TV, I just want to like pluck my eyes out with a fork. Oh, terrible. That's not God's love. God's love is a gracious, sacrificial love. A love that pours out towards others. Which is exactly what John wants us to see here as he's told us about God's love. He said he wants us to understand that the more we recognize God's blessings in our lives, the more we want to bless others. Isn't it true that the deeper we go into God's grace, the more we begin to understand this gift of new life and of blessing, the more we understand that it is truly a gift, the more that we want to share it with others. The more that we want to love others, the more we understand that we are blessed, we want to be a blessing. The more that we understand that we are taken care of, the more that we want to take care of others. John says it comes from this love of God living within us. That we want to show it to others. You know, during this time of the year, this love that lives within us, we see it a lot. We see it in the signs that we see on the road. You hear it on the radio and the songs that we sing. And what it does is it reminds us of this gift that we have received. It reminds us of the grace that we've received, of the life that we have, of the blessings that God continues to pour upon our life. And as that love continues to grow inside of us, we want to show it to others. We want others to experience it. Which I believe is one of the reasons why we give gifts. Because historically, Christians during this season, during this time in which we celebrate God entering into creation, Christians would share gifts because of this joy. This joy within them. God loves us. Now, I understand that sometimes that can get taken too far, right? And it can become all about material stuff. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the love that manifests in our life, and we just want to bless other people. So when we think about it, and we go, I don't know. If we go out and we buy gifts and we do all this stuff, have we forgotten the reason for the season? Have we taken Christ out of Christmas? I would suggest to you, no. Matter of fact, I would suggest to you that it's just the opposite. That we give, that we live generously, that we do what is in our power to be a blessing to others because of Jesus, because God has entered into creation. Because this season is founded on generosity and it's centered on giving. I mean, isn't that the Christmas message? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his son. Now, let me say this, that gifts don't always come wrapped in paper. Sometimes they come wrapped in a blanket laying in a manger. Right? Gifts aren't always bought at a store. Those are nice, and it's okay to do that. But sometimes, gifts are an invitation to fill that chair at your table so someone's not at home by themselves. Sometimes a gift is a long overdue phone call. It's saying I'm sorry when we probably should have said it many months or maybe even years ago. Or maybe it's the other side of that coin when we say, I forgive you. A gift is a blessing hand. It's a warm greeting. It's demonstrating God's love in this world. You see, what makes a gift is not its price, it's not what it's wrapped in. What makes a gift and what makes it special is the love that it conveys and the joy that it creates. So this holiday season, I want to encourage you to look for ways to bless other people. To look for ways to allow this love that lives within you, that God has given us through his Son, to give it to others. Could be physical present under, you know, in a stocking or wherever you guys put them. Could look different. But is it not the time of the year that we're mindful of that? And if you go, okay, Brian, I can get behind that. So here's the challenging part. What if we continue that all year? What if we as the church said, you know what, we're not just going to live generously when we're celebrating Jesus' birth, but we're going to choose to live generously every day, to look for ways to bless other people, to meet needs, to give them that moment where they go, I can't believe you did this for me. And to say, let me tell you what I can't believe God did for us. That is my prayer for you, my friends. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the greatest gift, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, that you looked upon your creation with love, with remorse for our brokenness and that our relationship with you was strained. So, Father, you sent your Son Jesus to heal that relationship, to pay the debt that we owed for our sin, and to give us the promise of eternal life. God, as we celebrate this Christmas season and we focus on the manger, we focus on you entering into creation, God, we are thankful. We are thankful that you did what we never could and that you have given us a gift that is unrepayable. God, as we focus on that, as we begin to see more and more of that in our life, to sense more of your blessing and presence, Lord, may we show that to others. May we be gracious. May we be kind. May we show your love. May we be like you in this earth. And God, through that, we pray that you would receive all the glory, that more people would come to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And God, that our lives would be marked by love. Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.